And I'm delighted to say I'm joined now by Avril Collentine from Cahir & Cole Solicitors for our legal advice lot. Avril, a very good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Alan.
Thanks very much for coming in. So, you want to talk about property this week. What particular aspects do you want to cover?
Yeah, so this week I'm going to talk about trading up and trading down. I suppose we've got, we always get inquiries about this, even more so this year, I find, whether it's people's change in lifestyle and post-COVID. But yeah, we get a lot of inquiries about people, how they've decided to move on from that smaller starter home or the apartment that they bought, and they're looking now to move to something bigger, maybe their forever home. So I'm going to talk about the do's and don'ts, I suppose, of trading up and down, and give you some hints and tips to help prepare for that process.
Okay, very good. But just before you start, Avril, I wonder, maybe it's each case, individual case, has to be assessed, but on the face of it, is it easier to trade down than trade up?
No, I think you're right. It's probably a case-by-case basis. Trading down, maybe, you know, you have your own considerations. Maybe you've reached a stage in your life, you're empty nesters maybe, or the children have moved out, or maybe you just don't want that larger house and all the maintenance and the large gardens that go with it. You might want to move closer to town and services and family. So I suppose, you know, you're looking at a smaller market. You're looking at naturally by virtue of trading down, you're looking at apartments maybe in smaller houses. So it's about finding the property. That's the big thing, I suppose. Everybody knows the rental or the sale market. There's the properties out there, are, you know, there's no new builds coming on stream. So it's what's in the second-hand market that suits you and your individual needs. But trading down, you might be in an invidious position, I suppose, that you might be mortgage-free. So you're just looking at selling and you might have a bit more cash in your pocket, what you can buy and what suits your needs. But it's really finding the house that you want or the property that's going to suit your needs. And that's the big challenge, is particularly I think in Ennis and in the county.
Yeah, the whole country really, isn't it? Okay, well look, regardless whether you're trading up or trading down, the best place to start, I guess, Avril, is getting financial advice.
So I suppose that's the difference here. If you're trading up, you may have an existing mortgage, so you're going to have to talk to the bank or your mortgage broker and financially do your sums and see where you're at. So that will depend a number of factors. You can get your redemption figure, see what's on your existing mortgage account, figure that out. You'll talk to your auctioneer and see what's your property worth, and so the difference between the two is what you're going to be left less your legal costs. What that gives you the idea of what your net profit will be and where you're going to be able to put that into. So as I said earlier, you know, post-COVID, people's lifestyles changed, their needs have changed, and we're told statistically that people used COVID, some people anyway, were lucky enough to have a nest egg put by. So you may want to use this and put that in with your whatever the profit you have from the sale of your home and put that into what you're buying your new house. So for second-hand buyer, you will be a second-hand purchaser then, and it's your second time round. You have to have, under the 2023 rules, you have to have 10%, and you can only borrow 3.5 times your income. So that's the difference if you're going to be buying for the second time, as opposed to a first-time buyers can borrow up to 4 times their salary or their income. So you need to do your sums first and foremost, talk to the bank, get an idea, and talk to the auctioneer as well and get an idea of what is the market value of your property at the moment. We are told obviously that, I'm looking up statistics there, that second-hand home prices are up about 3.4% this year, and there is demand in this area. You know, there's 36,000 second-hand homes were transacted in 2023 last year, so there's only so many second-hand homes. But anyway, you talk to your auctioneer, get an idea of what your house is worth, and talk to your bank and see how much you can borrow realistically and have you a nest egg put by to help with that. You need to factor in your legal costs, of course. You will have stamp duty on the purchase of any residential property at 1%.
Okay, plenty of other people, as I know from buying a house, to talk to, getting financial advice, auctioneers, and of course, the wonderful people yourselves, the solicitors.
Yeah. So, you know, a Cahir & Company, we would say it's never too soon to talk to your solicitor because, first and foremost, you're going to need the name of a solicitor to give to the bank if you're getting a mortgage pack. You need your solicitor to take up your deeds. If they're with the bank, you need to get those original title deeds up as soon as possible. And we may not have acted for you when you bought it. It may have been a different firm of solicitors. So it's important that we would get to look at those deeds and make sure everything is okay. Check the documents and see is there anything missing. You know, conveyancing practice has moved on, I suppose. And even for the or for people who are downsizing or trading down, you may have your deeds at home, you may be mortgage free, they could be in a press for the last 10-15 years when the bank sent them out to you when you paid your last mortgage off, so you may not have looked at those deeds. So I would say first and foremost, bring them to your solicitor as soon as possible so we can see what's missing. You know, the LPT receipts, the NPPRs, all those things have to be gathered and put together, so you do it in a timely manner. Give yourself as much time as possible so you're not running around trying to do it at the last minute. Your solicitor will have those deeds then on file, and it at least when you go sale agreed, contracts can be issued in a, you know, fairly quickly, timely manner. The bigger thing for me, I suppose, I like to get full and clear instructions from the clients. It's particularly about if you've done any works, your property building works, the conservatory, the Velux windows, the attic conversion. Some people did these things and think, oh, well, you know, there was no consequences. I didn't need planning because the Velux windows were in such a place, or the conservatory is under certain square footage. We need all that detail from you, because it may need us to get an engineer out there, get it checked. There may be certificates of exemption to be prepared. Or if you built something at the back of, you know, an extension that went over a square footage, it may need a application to Clare County Council for retention. And retention can take a number of weeks, 12 weeks of a decision. So you need to build that all into your timelines and your factors. So when you're selling your house, it's not just a very straightforward process. If there's these complications, we need to know at the outset so we can try and prepare for that.
Okay, the auctioneer's part?
Auctioneer, I think, you know, most people who are buying and selling will talk to, they may have a preferred agent in town, or they may use somebody. And that the benefit of that, I suppose, is they can guide you through the process. If you've your heart set on a house down the road, your dream house you've always walked by, and that's the one you want to buy, well, then they'll talk to you about the timelines. What is the reality of the person in there? How soon do they want to get out? Is it subject to probate? Are they building or buying somewhere else? Is it going to be in a chain? So when I talk about being in a chain, that transaction, that means you're going to buy that house and sell your own on the same day and use the money and try and draw down the mortgage. So logistically, there's a lot of challenges there for the solicitor to tie all that in. And you ideally, you want to move from one house into the next. So that's if you're in a chain, but equally the person you're buying from is buying or moving somewhere else. So all that has to tie in. So usually it'll take a lot of collaboration between the various solicitors involved. But the benefit of your auctioneer will know that at the outset, when you view that house, they'll say to you, this is ready to go, or it won't be ready to go for 6 months. So you need to know that. And I suppose, you know, the benefit of that, I get, you can tie it in, or you can try and do things logistically. Unfortunately, if it's not a chain, or if you decide you don't want to, you want to sell first and have your money in the bank, and you're in a better position to shop, then you need to know or figure out how, where you're going to live in between, because the sales market has become quite truncated. We see sales advice notices once they come into our office. You know, realistically, the closing date could be 8 to 10 weeks from that if everything goes straight forward, your survey and your bank, your mortgage pack comes down quite quickly, and the people who are selling you the house that want out, the vendors are going out somewhere else. That can move quite quickly. So auctioneers are having no difficulty in selling properties if everything's in order and the title is in order. So you can trade out quite, you can move quite quickly, but you need to figure out, if you sell your house that quickly, where are you going to stay in the meantime? Are you moving in with family? Do you know somewhere of a vacant house that you can stay? Or what is that, you know, where are you going to go? People often have the idea that they'll do it all the one day. It may not be that straightforward for various factors and various considerations. So you need to have a backup plan. And I suppose that's where you're going to stay with the family or friends. We all know how difficult the rental market is at the moment, so it can be very hard to find somewhere to rent.
Any last important advice that people should be aware of, Avril, if they're getting, just beginning to think about either trading up or trading down?
So I think talk to the auctioneer, talk to the solicitor, and talk to your bank. Once you've done that, you'll have an idea of what's involved and realistically if it's for you. I think for families and younger couples, maybe with children and considerations, I find a lot of people tend to do it over the summer months, or they start the process early and they say to me, I want to be in by August. That's the deadline. We want to have the kids settled for school in September. We want to be in the new house. And I, you know, we work with you every step of the way and we try and get that. It may not always be possible because, as I say, the vendors may have may have different ideas, or they may be waiting to get into a house or building or moving somewhere else. So I think allow yourself time, always have a plan B. You have to factor in things like storage of furniture, moving companies, but don't, you know, never book those things until you've talked to your solicitor and your auctioneer, obviously, and you have your definite closing dates. But I think talk to your solicitor as soon as possible, get your deeds, whether they're at home or with the bank, find out where they are, because we've had people who've changed banks, or because of all the changes in the banking market. You may originally had a Bank of Scotland mortgage that maybe now be with Pepper or Permanent TSB, they've all moved. So give as much detail as you can to your solicitor and talk to your solicitor at the earliest opportunity.
Brilliant stuff. Avril, thank you as ever. Some fantastic advice there. That's Avril Collentine from Cahir & Company Solicitors with us on Morning Focus.